Hello, Heart Refined friends. Okay, good, whatever time of the day it is that you are tuning into this. But here we are on day three as we have been navigating through already finding the goodness of God in the scripture. We're focused on Romans 8, but we've taken a couple detours already. And I can't remember if I wrapped up saying this yesterday, but I just want to continue to say the words, the goodness of God. We wrapped up in Romans 7 talking about, why do I do what I don't want to do? And why do I not do what I want to do? But oh, what a wretched man am I. Praise be to God who saves me. And as we look at that, again, we lean in and see that it is His goodness alone that brings salvation to us. And yes, of course, there is the one-time salvation. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. Please chew on this fact. You cannot lose your salvation. You don't have sin big enough to undo what the blood of Jesus Christ has done. And so as you look at the fact, as you continue to recognize your wretchedness, as we talk about, you are accepting your salvation and realizing that you are a sinner who has been saved by grace, but because of His blood, you are a saint. You are the righteousness of Christ. And when you take on that title and you embrace your role as a daughter of the only living King, it frees you to not be bound by that wretchedness. It is what it is. It's sort of like, in my lifetime, I have been an alcoholic. I have been a porn addict. I have been a lot of different things. But I'm no longer those things because of what God has done for me. It's just a part of my story that I get to share the testimony. In Revelation 12:11, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's He first that saves anybody. But then second, you come into that position where you have a story to talk about, and that's how that works. So anyways, I just wanted to throw that in there. So we look at that and we recognize it's only the goodness of God that's brought us out of what we were. The old is gone and the new has come in Christ. So let's look now, finally, in day three. We're going to really move over into Romans 8. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 4 right now. And it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. Let me read that one more time. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, y'all chew on this. God gave us rules and commandments in order to protect us and purify us, that we might be presented to Him, a pure and holy God. Do you realize that? That in our sin, we cannot be presented to Him because He is pure and holy and perfect. So what He's got to do then is take us through a cleaning process, a refining fire, so that we then can be presented to Himself. But we looked at it, people really jacked that up. Like Adam and Eve started the ball rolling, and ever since then, man has picked it up and run with it. So therefore, God knew from the beginning that He was going to have to make a pure and holy sacrifice in order to cover us. Do you hear that? We needed to be pure and holy to be presented to Him, but in our own sin, there was no way we were going to do it. So what do we go back to? It's the goodness of God who then sends a pure and holy sacrifice to cover us. We've never been able to do what was necessary to bring salvation or that purity and holiness to ourselves. And I don't know about you, when I think about that, that brings so much relief to my mind and body. See, because I don't have to live in perfection. However, I do have to live in intentional obedience and perseverance. So what you do is you lay down your weariness and you learn how to lift up your King by taking Him at His word. You recognize that since the pure and holiness only comes from His goodness, then your perseverance can do the same, right? Can come from Him. I can't tell you in my job as a personal trainer and a nutrition specialist and all the holistic stuff, how many women I come to and they say, I just don't have perseverance. I just don't have what it takes, in other words. And I say, Do you have Jesus? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because what comes with that salvation is a gift. And this is a gift of fruit. And part of that, or that fruit, the name of it is that we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So we actually do already have it. You can do nothing to earn this. But accept Jesus, because it's him who gives it to you. And so once you've taken that gift, or you've taken salvation, then you have access to this. So you do have the discipline that's required. You do have the patience, and so on and so forth. What he does, though, since we're not immediately sanctified, fully sanctified here on this earth, once we accept Jesus, there's a process of sanctification that we go through. And it's a long, drawn-out thing, y'all. It takes a long time, and it's quite agonizing at points. But again, we have to trust him. We have to take him at his word that he's going to continue to make us pure and holy. So you say, great. How do I do this? How do I get in that motion of sanctification? Well, you just plain and simple, my beautiful sisters, you get to know him more. You remember what we were speaking about day before yesterday. We get in his face, because the more you know him, the more you learn his countenance, his demeanor, his posture, and so on, the more you want to be like him and live for him. He is the ultimate. I was about to say the ultimate catch. I want to be so careful about making it sound like I'm saying he's the best boyfriend ever, or he's your sugar daddy, he'll give you everything you need. That's just a garbage statement right there. We don't need a dumb God, and the triune God, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't need to dumb them down like that. But we do need to recognize that this is our gracious God. And Jesus, who is our Savior, is also our friend. And the Holy Spirit is our counselor, meaning he walks hand in hand with us through this life. And so as we lean into him, we're thinking, you know what? Or we begin to think, this guy is so good. He is so, so good to me. So I want to be like him. I want to be around him. And I want to let other people know who he truly is. That's just the greatest. So anyways, let's move on to Psalm 145. Now, this is actually the last psalm attributed to David. His words are based on a lifetime of learning how to trust God, and also seeing his mighty work and precious love, even when he didn't trust God. Now, David is this really interesting story, y'all. He is a mound of problems. I mean, this is the guy who we sort of lift David up as the guy we want to be like. But if you remember, and he's called David, the man after God's own heart. But if we remember, this is a guy who had buckets of blood on his hands. He was disobedient in infidelity. He murdered the husband of the woman that he got pregnant, and there's just so many things that were going on in David's life. What made David the man after God's own heart is that he kept seeking after God in all of his goodness. And that really is who we are. You could consider yourself a girl after God's own heart if you're truly seeking him, searching for him with all of your heart, and you will find him. Then that goodness is just going to generate more of the desire to seek him, even when you mess up and even when you fail like David. So, but in Psalm 145, it's literally, you can taste David's joy as he recounts God's goodness throughout his life. Again, remembering all his failures and flaws. And as you read that, it's really hard not to join him in praise. And this hymn of praise makes a record of his firsthand knowledge of God's character. Now, the next, when I start tomorrow, or actually this will air on a Friday, or whenever it is that you lay your ears on it, I'm going to go ahead and read all of Psalm 145, but I'm going to stop here as we get close to this 10-minute mark. And I'm going to encourage you in your own time to go and encounter Psalm 145. And we'll talk more about in the next podcast on how to process this properly, as opposed to how we were reading Romans 8 the other day. We're going to be reading this from a different angle, with a heart that is not set on us and our quote-unquote goodness. It's always going to be set on Him and His. All right, so again, I hope you have enjoyed this as you walk through in your daily jog or your laundry or whatever else it is you're doing. But however it goes, I pray you've been blessed by God's goodness alone. God bless you, friends. Talk to you soon. Bye.